Sure Shame Podcast, shining a light to the nations.
Hello again, everybody. I'm Bill Cloud, and this program you're watching is called Returning to Our Roots, because that's what we try to do here. We emphasize the Hebrew roots of our faith and why that's important to us as believers in the Messiah. Over the last couple of weeks, we have been talking about what it means to present ourselves as a living sacrifice unto God, that we are to be holy and acceptable unto Him. And we are told that that is our reasonable service. And we're going to kind of build on that concept by looking at something else that we're calling the works of Abraham, or the works of Abram. And I guess as we get started, it's important to remember a principle that I've shared with you many, many, many times now, and that is, if we're going to understand what's happening today, then we have to first understand what's already happened. We have to discern things that are going on today by going back and understanding the things that have already been. In fact, there is a rabbinic adage that basically says this, and here's how it puts it. It says that everything that happened to the patriarchs is a portent for the children. That's just another way of saying that if you want to understand what's going on today, go back and look at what happened in the beginning, but specifically where God's people are concerned, that is Israel, which, by the way, will include you and me because we are of faith. We are also called the seed of Abraham. We want to look at the patriarchal record that begins with Abraham. In fact, when he was first called Avram. I want just to underscore this, though. We're not just looking at this as a mere history lesson. We're looking at this because what happened to the fathers happens to the children. And let me read this verse to you to kind of make my point. Galatians 3, verse 29 says this, "And if you are Messiah's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." And so, in a matter of speaking, while the Creator is our heavenly Father, Abraham is our spiritual father. Because if we're in Messiah, we are the seed of Abraham. And therefore, if what happened to the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, is to happen to the children, then as believers, we look to Abraham to get an idea of what we could expect to unfold in our lives. We look at his journeys, we look at his trials, the different things that he went through, and when we understand those things, then we understand the things that are going to happen to us, similar circumstances that are going to unfold for us. That is because we are his seed. So then in that, here's what we want to really focus on: his commitment to God's instructions and his response to the things that popped up in his life, the circumstances that arose, either of his own making or something that was just out of his hands entirely. But we want to analyze his response to that. Because once again, if this rabbinical adage is true, and I believe it is, then again, in our lives, we can expect similar circumstances to arise. And so what happened to Abraham and how he responded to it and how through it all he was committed to God should be a model for us, and it should be an inspiration for us so that we too can be faithful. We too can continue to emulate this example. And so it's his devotion to God in spite of all that happened. That's what we want to focus on. And because that's what we, as the seed of Abraham, again according to Galatians 3:29, need to emulate. In fact, Messiah himself alludes to this statement that I just made when he said in John chapter 8, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham." Now, I realize that he was speaking to Jewish people, and that was 2,000 years ago. But once again, Paul said that you and I, those of us who are in Messiah, are, in a sense, Abraham's children. We are Abraham's seed. Not because we're genetically and literally descended from him, but because we are like him of faith. So then, back to this statement Yeshua makes. If you are Abraham's children, then you would do the works of Abraham. If you are truly of faith and the seed of Abraham, then you would do the kinds of things that Abraham did. You would respond the way that Abraham did. And so that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at these works of Abraham, and we're going to try to determine what are the works of Abraham. One of them, first that we'll mention, is that very early on, Abraham, when he was still known as Avram, was making disciples. He was trying to encourage people to follow his example even then. And you can see a hint of that in Genesis chapter 12, because it talks about all the people that he had acquired in Haran. Not necessarily saying that he is hiring servants and slaves and things like that, but that it hints that he was, while he was in Haran, was making disciples. Well, what would he be discipling them in? Avram come from a very idolatrous pagan land. And so the unique quality about Avram, later Abraham, is that living in this very idolatrous land, in fact, tradition, legend says that his father Terah was an idol maker, is that he, in the midst of this, heard from the one and only God and come to understand that there is only one God and began the journey of following the one and only God. And so that's what he began to disciple people in. And that's, by the way, what you and I, as the seed of Abraham, are called to do. Let me read it for you in Matthew chapter 28. Messiah says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." So again, what are we talking about here? The works of Abraham, because the children of Abraham will do the works of Abraham. Abraham was a man of faith, and so all of those of faith will walk in the example that was set by Abraham. Abraham, very early on, began to make disciples. Therefore, you and I should be doing the same. A lot of people have the idea that our mission is to make converts, to get people saved, that kind of thing. No, that is not our mission. Our mission is to go make disciples. And by the way, if we're going to be in that kind of a situation where we're making disciples, that infers that we're going to have to be in a relationship with people. It's really easy to go knocking on doors and get people saved and then go on down the road, never seeing those people ever again. But that's not what we're told to do, even though being born again is the initial step in becoming a disciple. But we are commissioned to make disciples. And again, that infers that we're going to have a continual relationship with these people that we are discipling. Which brings me back to another thought. The essence of the covenant, that is the one that you and I have entered into through the blood of the Messiah, boils down to this, that we are to love God with all our heart, all our soul, all of our strength, and we are to love our neighbor as ourself. It's on those two points that hang all that is written in the Torah and the prophets. And so, in my view, I see this commission to make disciples is tied into that. Because if I'm going to make a disciple, again, I'm going to have some semblance of a relationship with this person or these people. And that means I'm going to have to truly learn what it means to love my neighbor as myself and to give them what they need, not necessarily what they want, as He is giving me what I need and not necessarily what I want. Now, Abraham, according to the Scripture, besides this, making disciples, was also the first person to refer to the Creator as Master. In Hebrew, it would be the term Adon, but he's the first to call Him Master, which then infers that Abraham considered himself to be a servant. That Hebrew word is Eved. Sometimes it's translated bondservant. Which, by the way, that is what you and I are called to do. We are to consider ourselves as being servant. Because a servant is willing to die to himself, to his will, to his desire, that the will of his master might be carried out. And why? Because he's devoted to him. So you could say then that a servant is one who presents himself as a living sacrifice. He sacrifices his life, his desires, to satisfy those of his masters. And in fact, he is with the understanding, he has the understanding that this is his reasonable service. That's the whole idea behind being a servant, is to serve. And who? The master. So we see these attributes in Abraham. And these attributes in Abraham are attributes that the world needs to see in us because we are following in the footsteps of our spiritual father, Abraham, because we are his seed. Now, Abraham's obedience to the Creator demonstrates his desire to draw close to the Creator. If you'll remember in previous programs, we talked about presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice, or that word in Hebrew is korban. And the word korban comes from a root word that means to approach, to draw near. And so that's what this journey from the Ur, the Chasdim, to the land that God was going to show him, that's what this journey is all about. Abraham's desire to draw near unto the Creator. And so as he's doing that, he is demonstrating that he is willing to leave others behind, to leave what he's familiar with behind, and in fact go to a strange land, a place that initially he didn't even know where it was he was going. And so then we could say that Abraham is determined to be set apart. He is determined to be conformed to God's image, be conformed to God's standards, not to mingle and mix with the culture. Like I said, he left a very idolatrous and paganistic culture, the Ur, the Chasdim. Again, tradition says his father Terah was an idol maker. And so here we have this man who's coming out from among all of that to separate himself from all that, to be set apart from that. Because if you are going to present yourself as a living sacrifice, you must be holy, kadosh, set apart. You must do what is acceptable to God, and that is our reasonable service. Now, because he does leave things and others behind, remember from the previous program we talked about this one and only way that leads to life, which is the narrow gate and the difficult or troublesome path. How many people find it? Well, very few. Which means if we're going to follow God all the way, it's going to require at some point in time that we leave people behind, because not everybody is going to want to follow God all the way. Some people part of the way, some people half of the way, but very few all of the way. And by the way, those who endure to the end, Messiah says, those are the ones who are going to be saved. So in Abraham, we see this principle. He's leaving all these things behind to go to a land that he doesn't know, to set himself apart from the rest of culture in the sense that he's not going to participate in the things that they involve themselves with and engage in. And so then consequently, he is the first person to be called Hebrew. And that term in Hebrew is ha-ivri, and it comes from a verb, avar, which means to cross over or to be on the other side. Because spiritually speaking, Abraham crosses over from being a guy that comes out of this idolatrous land. He's one who's crossing over from that to a place that where God's presence is, to draw closer to God. He's coming from death unto life, out of darkness into light. That's the way we could put it. And so he is called Hebrew because in a literal sense, that's exactly what he did. In fact, the literal or natural comes first to teach us of the spiritual. And so he's literally leaving the Ur of the Chasdim. He goes to Haran and he leaves Haran and he comes to the land of Canaan and had to literally, physically cross over Avar, the Jordan River, to come into the land that God would show him. And so it's from the term Avar that we get the term Ivri. From the term that means to cross over, we get the term that is Hebrew. Because Abraham was one who crossed over. He came out from among them to set himself apart, to live a dedicated life to the God of Israel. But now in this journey, we see that there are all these various trials that he had to endure. And we see in those trials his failures, his flaws, but also his commitment and his devotion to overcome. Because all of us, beginning with Abraham, all of us are called to be overcomers. Abraham had to overcome. And I would dare say, and this is just my opinion, that Abraham's biggest adversary was not the adversary, but Abraham's biggest adversary was Abraham, saying no to himself. And so it is with all of Abraham's seed. Those who are of faith have to come to the realization that this is a troublesome path that calls us to overcome. Overcome our will that we might approach the Creator. And so we see this commitment in Abraham's life. Ultimately, of course, that's found for us in Genesis chapter 22 when he is called to bring his only son that he loves, Isaac, to the top of Mount Moriah as a burnt offering. But that's the culmination of things. His first trial was to leave his country, to leave his family, to leave his father's house. And so in Abraham's journey and the works of Abraham, here's what we see. He is beginning to return to God so that all things might be restored. Now let's read in Genesis chapter 12. He says this, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all of the families of the earth shall be blessed.' So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him." And so here's the three things that I want us to consider that Abram had to leave. Number one, his country. Then his family, and then his father, and presumably his mother. Now, here's why I want to highlight that, because we'll read the text sometimes and we'll just read over these things and we will not let what's being said really sink in. Let me put it this way. If God today spoke to you and told you, "All right, I want you to leave everything that you know, love, or you're familiar with, I want you to leave it all behind right now, and I want you to go to a place that I'm not going to tell you exactly where and what it is just yet. I just want you to go." That's what Abram was called to do. So in that, I want to suggest this. If God would do something so dramatic to call him to leave everything he'd ever known behind, it must mean then, had he stayed, he would not have been able to fulfill God's purpose in his life. And we could also interject into that, had he chosen to stay against God's call, then he really wouldn't have loved God with all of his heart, all of his soul, all of his strength. He wouldn't have really been presenting himself as a living sacrifice. So again, God calls him to do this, and there must be a purpose and reason. And part of that is, had he stayed living in that country, living in his, around his family, his brethren, his kinsmen, and even his father's house, something would have been there to keep and to prevent him from being everything that God had called him to be. And so then we must understand that as his spiritual seed, Galatians 3:29 again, as Abraham's spiritual seed, we are being called in like manner. That is, to leave everything that would keep us from fulfilling God's purpose and plan in our life. That's part of the restoration of all things. That's the whole idea of returning to God. To return to Him means leaving these other things behind. And it may not be that you ever leave your country. It may not be that you ever leave your family or your father's house. But whatever it is that would keep you from living up to the potential and the purpose that God has for you or me, that's what he's going to call us to abandon. That's what he's going to call us to walk away from. For some people, in the Messianic Hebrew roots world, you need to understand that it's more than giving up shrimp and bacon. It's more than that. For those of you who are just in mainstream Christian world, it's more than just giving up, going out and getting drunk or doing drugs. It's a lot more than that. It's giving up anything and everything. Even sometimes those things that seem to be good, anything that would keep us from fulfilling His purpose. That is the works of Abraham. to leave all behind in order that we can follow God all the way. And so in Hebrew, here's what God told Abraham. Lech lecha. Leave. Leave it all. Go on. He's to leave his country, the surroundings that he had always known. I mean, you think about that. The community that spawned you, the culture that has surrounded you, things you love about it, things that would be very, very difficult to give up. Well, he was told to give those things up, to leave those things behind. Because in part, our culture determines who and what we are. But as a believer, we need to understand that it's not culture that is supposed to determine who and what we are, but it's God's Word that is supposed to determine who and what we are. And so our culture can sometimes be the bonds that keep us from doing what God has called us to do. I know I was raised in a certain culture. I was raised in the South, certain foods, certain ideas, certain mindsets. And I know that had I chosen to stay in that culture, per se, and let that identify me, I know I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing right now. I know that that would keep me from doing what God has called me to do and living up to the fulfillment of His purpose for my life. And it is the same for all of us. And so then, let's ask this question. If he had stayed there in Ur, could Abraham have been a blessing to all nations? And by the way, it's doubtful, because that's the purpose, that he was to be a source of blessing. And so God wouldn't call him to leave everything behind if he could be a source of blessing right there where he was. And so I want you to see that his descendants are going to follow this pattern. They're going to be living in Egypt, and that culture is going to become part of who they are, but then God's going to call them out of that culture to turn away from those things and to abandon those things in order that they can come to the land of Canaan and, by the way, cross over the Jordan River. But now, unlike Abraham, his descendants in the days of Moses and the children of Israel, and even to this very day, unlike Abraham, his spiritual seed, his descendants have been very hesitant and very slow to respond, whereas he was very quick to respond. In fact, Israel wanted to stay in Egypt for the longest time. And had they stayed in Egypt, had they not come out of Egypt under the leadership of Moses, then I would make the argument that Israel would have at some point in time ceased to exist. They would have died there right in Egypt. And the nation of Israel would have been no more. And that could not be. And so here's what I want us to see. That part of the works of Abraham, the initial step in it, and it's a process that continues to unfold throughout our life, is in returning to God and being restored, and in presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice, means that we are continually leaving things, culture, people, ideas, concepts, leaving those things behind. Because those are not the things that are supposed to identify us. Those are not the things that are supposed to determine who and what we are. We're to have our minds renewed. We are to be conformed to the image of Son of God. And put it in a modern context. You and I are being called to leave country, family, and Father's house. And that's not to be understood exclusively, anyway, in a physical sense. I'm talking about in a spiritual sense. And by the way, it's possible to leave something in a physical sense, but never leave that place or that area or that way of thinking. You might leave it in a physical sense, but you might leave your heart behind. Because remember Lot's wife? In fact, let me read for you in Luke 17 what Messiah said. In that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who was in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. Here's what I'm trying to say. More than leaving something in a physical sense, although sometimes that's required, What the Creator wants us to do is to be willing to leave those things that would have our heart. Sodom had the heart of Lot's wife, and she perished, even though she left it physically. So, yes, there are times that we're called to come out of something literally and physically, but it doesn't matter if we do that, if we've left our heart there, because how are we supposed to love our Father with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength? And so as we examine the works of Abraham today, what we wanted to emphasize is his willingness to leave behind anything and everything, including loved ones, if it would keep him from demonstrating his total devotion to God and his love for God, to be that living sacrifice, to love him with all of his heart. And when we come back next week, we're going to continue looking at the works of Abraham and some of the things that happened to Abraham and how he continually demonstrates this wholehearted devotion. We'll see you then.
Like what you're hearing? Become a Bill Cloud Premium Partner to watch or listen to hundreds of hours of teachings and resources on demand. Go to BillCloud.com/subscribe to start watching today.